Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we have been looking at our Advent wreath all month. And anybody remember what the first candle is called?
Hope.
Hope. Second is peace. Third is joy. And today is love. And then on Christmas Eve, we light the Christ candle. Okay? But isn't it interesting in this time that we remember the suffering of Jesus during Advent, that the four things that we celebrate are all positive, isn't it? And remember last week I talked about, can there be joy in suffering? Yes. Well, today we're going to look at love. And folks, what does love mean? One of those things, doesn't it? Well, the Greeks, of all things, had six words for love. All right? The first one is philia. Phileo, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And what that usually means, affectionate regard, friendship, usually between equals. Okay, so there's one word, eros, erotic, physical love. Okay. They also have one that's called agape. And you've heard me talk about agape a lot in here, because that's the kind of love that's unconditional but requires sacrifice, okay? And especially charity, it's the love of God for man and of man for God. Okay, it's that love that goes back and forth. Next one is storge. Tenderness, love, and affection, especially of parents and children, okay? It's empathy is the word that is close to that. Pragma, pragmatic, okay? A model of love as two people may demonstrate during a lengthy marriage. And then finally was philautia, and that's love for one's own self. And remember it was said something about being equal for philia, phileo, okay? Love's own self, and that's the first part of that word too. So that means that you're equal with yourself. Now try and figure that one out. All right, so what does love mean in English? Here's where we get mixed up. Because when we look at the word love, we have one word that can be used a myriad different ways. Okay, so the first one is a feeling of deep affection. Babies fill parents with feelings of love. Love for their country. In other words, a deep affection. Romantic or sexual attraction was to someone. Okay, that's the same thing as eros. I love this. There was two words on the sentiment that I had to share. Besotted with. When's the last time you used the word besotted in a sentence? And this one is great. Twitter padded. Have you ever heard of the word Twitter padded?
Yes, Twitter padded.
Twitter baited? Well, yeah, that could be it too. You know, it's one of those things, where did they come up with this? But anyway, what they use is Twitter baited infatuation. I still didn't answer me what Twitter baited means, but what the heck?
Makes your heart beat faster. Okay.
If you go back to Bambi, the Walt Disney movie.
It's in there?
When Thumper and Bambi were small,
yeah.
The word Twitter baited came up in their conversation.
Oh,
and wow.
It stuck in my mind.
Boy, I'm sure glad that you listened to that one. I miss that. Okay. A formula for ending an affectionate letter. Oh, take care, a lot of care. Lots of love, Judy. A personified figure of love, although often represented as Cupid. St. Valentine's Day, somebody's making a lot of money. Okay, something that you're interested in. I got a love of football, I got a love of music, that kind of thing. A person or thing that one loves. She was the love of his life. And their two great loves are tobacco and whiskey. Hey, I didn't come up with that one, that was out of dictionary.com. Or, and I've heard, Jerry, do this one. It's a friendly form of address in the from the British. It's all right, love. Thanks, love. Okay? Now, well, but it doesn't mean that we have anything fancy going on. It's a term of endearment. You know, I could go on like this, but, you know, how do you know which one you're using in English? Well, excuse me, let me define my use of love right now. We don't do that. But it depends on how you say it and what context. But here's the thing. In Christianity, love as revealed in Jesus, seen as spiritual and selfless and a model for humanity. Interesting, isn't it? Thomas Jefferson, you know, put the Bible together. Okay? And what he called that Bible, it was interesting because he cut out all the miracles of Jesus. Okay? Not because he didn't want to share those, because he was a Christian. You know, we keep on saying that, you know, separation of church and state. Jefferson didn't believe in that. He wrote that to the Danbury Baptists because they were concerned because Jefferson had been congregational. And the congregational church wanted to be the national church of the United States. And Jefferson said, no, we're not going to do that. And so he wrote that in a letter. But then they took that out of the letter, took it out of context, and said, well, we're going to have separation. No, it doesn't mean that at all. But part of the thing that Jefferson thought that Jesus' life was a model that we should do in the United States for our citizens. And so he put together this form of the Bible called The Life and Times of Jesus of Nazareth for people to be able to work with one another and to love one another. Did you know that the Lord's Supper was originally called the Feast of Love? Okay. Well, so what does that mean in context of the Advent wreath? Well, first of all, remember the green stands for what? Forever. Okay, eternity. Okay? And the other thing is, the Advent wreath was originally called the Advent crown. The crown of Jesus. Okay? And it's his sharing of eternal life that comes with us. And his sharing of love, hope, peace, and joy. Thank you. I had to look for a second. All right. Well, how do we know about this? Well, John 3:16. If you notice, I've mentioned that every week now on this. For God so loved the world that he sent, gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But here's the thing. How is Jesus associated with that love? Well, we know that God gave him. But the thing I find interesting is two of our readings today deal with that. But they're both out of the Old Testament. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace, our shepherd and our strength, who is our peace. Now think about that for a second. Our shepherd and our strength could be love too, couldn't it? Okay? And remember, we've been saying that some of these terms are interchangeable. Okay? Our psalm today. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You are enthroned upon the cherubim. Shine forth. And restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. All right, now wait a second. We're talking about the light that comes from God. Okay? Ironic blessing, the way I finish all my services. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Look at that for a second. Okay? Everything has to do with face and light. Look at the tapestry in his light. Jesus is the light of the world. All right, so when we look at this, can you see how all of a sudden the Old Testament is tied in with the New Testament in terms of light, love, Jesus? Well, what are the two commandments that Jesus gave us? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. What's the other one? Love thy neighbor as thyself. So look, what Jesus gave us was the word love, right? Hope, peace, joy, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You know, here's the thing. We talk about all this stuff, and we talk about what we receive. Lutherans are real big about what we receive from God, right? Because we don't have any control over God. God has control over us. And I've used this example so many times on the cross. We receive from God, right? So it comes from God to us. Then what happens? It goes out from us to those around us. Love your neighbors as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. All your mind, all your soul. Okay? But folks, when we look at this kind of thing, every time we see the cross tells us that. You know, one of the things that I experienced when I was living in Arizona, I had a lot of Mormons because I taught at a former Mormon academy. And they said, you're venerating a thing that's evil because it was used to kill Jesus. No. I venerate the thing that's a promise from God to us, and that's the cross. For God so loved the world. You know, when we stop and think about that for a second, the cross is one of the most important things that's happened. You've heard me saying here that the cross is the most important thing that ever happened in human history. Everything before leans forward to the cross. Everything after leans back to the cross. Because without that, we're lost. For God so loved the world. You know, turn page. Love your neighbor as yourself. Except, is accept in there? Do you wish it was sometimes? Isn't that what's hard about that? Love your neighbors as yourself. Except, boy, is he hard to get along with. Or boy, she makes me so mad. And the Bible tells us, don't like them, love them. Okay? And remember, there's a difference between those two words, isn't there? Love your neighbors. Love the vet who's homeless and hasn't had a bath in 3 months. See what I'm getting at? God doesn't say, except for, does he? He tells us to love. Is there a reason that the last of the four candles is love? Because what are we getting closer to? The birth of Christ. The Christ candle, the one in the middle. The one that finishes it all up. Agape. Agape. I find that word very interesting. Okay. Ah means no. Agape is gate. Unconditional. There's no gate. There's no chasm. There's no space. See where this is leading? So that means with agape, okay, I'm going to use you for a second. There's no gate. Okay? There's no chasm. God's with us. Of course, I pick one of the people who knows that better than all of us, right? I'm going to talk about that. God is with us. Period. What does Jesus mean? What does Jesus mean? Yeah, what's the name of the word Jesus? God saves. That's Emmanuel. And that's the next one I'm going to talk about. What is Emmanuel? Our Emmanuel. God with us. So agape. There's no chasm. There's no space. He's with us. And you remember the reading we had last week from Isaiah 43? Do not fear, for I am with you. Why? because I love you. It all ties back together. Isn't it interesting that two of our strongest gospel messages come out of the Old Testament? Okay, that doesn't mean that the New Testament doesn't have that, but the Old Testament does. How do we know that Jesus loves us? Because the Bible tells us so. Guess what we're going to sing today? You know, folks, that's probably the first song you learn as a child. Jesus loves me. You know, because it's the truth. I mean, everything is said in that. Do we make things too complicated sometimes?
Yes.
Sure we do. Is it simple? And what is simple? God loves us. Jesus died for us. For God so loved the world. May the peace that is brought to us through the love God showed us on the cross keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.